longer give a subject matter, and it's simply that God determines who will be saved. God determines who will be saved. It is not up to us to save anybody. And for a long time, we used to have this mantra about ourselves of condemning individuals who were not walking with us or who were not doing the things that we would allow them to do. We would naturally condemn people. We were a very condemning type of a congregation, not this particular congregation, but just as members. And I'm going to show us something from the text that's interesting that you might have just overlooked and never really thought anything about it, but I'm going to show you how God, it is up to God, and he makes the determination on who shall be saved. And I'm going to show you from the scriptures that God acknowledges anybody who acknowledges him. And God will hear those who are sincerely seeking him. And those in this text, I'm going to show you from the scriptures, they were not yet baptized into the Lord's church. And God still acknowledged them. And he made it specifically to call out these individuals. And I'm going to show you from the text this particular family. Y'all all right? All right. I'm sure we're going to teach. We're going to learn this morning. Now, and we're going to stay in this whole text. There were some scriptures. And prayerfully, we will have something that will be useful. Now, I'm going to read from a contemporary English version. It is a simplified reading. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, who was the captain of a group of soldiers called the Italian Unit. And it says that Cornelius was a very religious man. Remember that now. He was a very religious man. He worshiped God, and so did everyone else who lived in his house. This is important for us. Everyone else, he was a religious man, and he worshiped God. And everyone that lived in Cornelius' house worshiped God as well. It says that he had given a lot of money to the poor and was always praying to God. Now, this is what is interesting. God takes two individuals that are on two different parts of the spectrum. He takes a devout Jew by the name of Peter, so one of the apostles. And this is interesting. Remember this word, he's a devout Jew. And we're going to explain this to you and why this is such, it shouldn't be a controversial issue and it shouldn't be a difficult issue. But this was a difficult situation that those who were followers of Christ who had come out of Judaism had in order to extend what was readily right for others to be able to accept. And I'm going to show us from the text. You have a devout Jew by the name of Peter, and you have an uncircumcised Gentile on the other hand by the name of Cornelius. Now this is important. He was an uncircumcised Gentile, but the Bible also says that he was a what? He was a religious man. He was a religious uncircumcised Gentile. And somebody said, well, this should be an easy issue. But there were problems with this particular individual. The Bible says that Peter, who was an apostle, who had preached, who was given the keys to the kingdom on the day of Pentecost. Remember that in Acts chapter 2, Peter did what? He preached the gospel message. And to all those who were present and accepted what Peter said, they what? They were obedient by what? By being baptized. Y'all following me? So far. So Peter, he journeys on and he's teaching in these various towns. He's healing people. He's teaching what God said he's supposed to do. Then all of a sudden, there is an issue that arises in Acts chapter 10. And the Bible says that there was a man by the name of Cornelius, but he was a captain of the Italian unit. So God specifically singled out this particular individual that he was a Gentile. And this is important for us to understand. Well, what made this such an issue for the Apostle Peter? Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Jews believe that God did not like Gentiles, and they believe that God was not in favor of Gentiles. They were taught this early on. They practiced this. They believe that God favored them over Gentiles. Well, the question is, where did Peter get this particular mindset? Where did it develop at? Where did Peter begin to practice these things? Where were these traditions imparted into Peter? Well, this was a long line of teaching, and Peter didn't just come up with this all of a sudden. This was some teachings that were instilled in Peter that allowed him to arrive at this point in his ministry or in his life as he was teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, what does the Bible say?
You are the sons of the Lord.
You are the sons of the Lord.
Your God. You shall not cut yourselves or shave your foreheads for the sake of the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possessions out of the peoples who are on the face of the earth.
Listen, this is what happened. And there are other readings. There's another reading. It says, people of Israel, you are the Lord's children. So when you mourn for the dead, you must not cut yourselves or shave your forehead. He says, out of all the nations on this earth, the Lord your God chose you to be his own. Well, this was not something that Peter thought of. This was actually what God had chosen. He had chosen Israel to be his people. So this is, God had a chosen group of individuals that he had called his own. And so this teaching, these traditions, they were perpetuated throughout history. And as each family line came along, this teaching rolled on. And so the Jews and those who practiced Judaism, they knew that they were a called out nation by God, specifically by God. And so this mindset that they were God's people had always been a part of their upbringing. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to help us see some things by those of us who were raised in the Lord's church, how we can have a mindset that has been traditionally perpetuated itself, that somehow has crippled some of us when it comes to extending our hands out to those who were not members of the Lord's church. Y'all all right? It's all right. As long as you're listening, we're okay. So, Peter grew up believing this, that they were God's chosen people. As a young man, he was taught these things. Well, this became an issue. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 through 23. We got time. I'm telling you, it won't be long. Y'all said, that's a lot of scripture for us to read right now. But I promise this won't be long. This is important. This is foundational. I want us to see this. And this is going to help us understand why Peter had this issue that came about. Not only did God choose them, but as a part of their custom and religious practices and traditions, they were taught certain Jewish laws. And these were rigid laws, customs, and traditions that those who were in Judaism had to abide by. And so part of this teaching is what caused this issue with the Apostle Peter later on, as we will see in this particular text. Y'all all right? Now, in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 through 23, let's read that together. And I'm going to show you that there were some rigid teachings that if you were a Jew, that you had to adhere to. And the Bible says that Peter was a devout Jew, which means that those things that were given to Peter, Peter made sure that he walked that very fine line, that he did not step out of the criteria that was set out before him. And in his text, well, what were some of those rigid things that Peter had been given as a devout Jew. Well, in Leviticus chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1, someone, let's start reading together. What does the Bible say?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, what does he say to him?
Saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Saying, these are the beasts.
These are the children of Israel. Who is the children of Israel? They are God's what? Chosen nation. They are God's chosen people. Now he's speaking to these children of Israel. He's calling out these Jews. He's giving them instructions that God has given to him to give to them, those who are practicing Judaism, to follow. And Moses begins to lay out the acceptable things that those who are part of Judaism and who are devout Jews are to follow. And he begins to go through this rigid list of things. And I'm going to show us after we read this that these issues continue on even into the New Testament when Peter was faced with this particular situation. Y'all all right? All right. That's about 1109 now. If brother read fast and clear, we'll be finished at 1112. So let's go, Doc. Leviticus 11, verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron.
Uh-huh. What did he say to him?
Saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth.
I want y'all to listen to this now. Keep reading. Don't let me talk and interrupt you. Keep reading.
Whosoever parted the hoof and is cloven hoof footed and chewed the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divided the hoof, and be not cloven footed, ye shall chew not, he cheweth it not, the cud, he is unclean to you. Of the flesh ye shall not eat, and their carcasses shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you.
Drop down to 20 and 23. We're going to speed it up just a little bit.
All fowls that creep, going upon all fours, shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap whither upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat, the locust after his kind, and the ball locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the evening.
All right, that's good. Now watch this. We skipped ahead so you don't go to sleep. So time you'll go back and read that. This is what the law, it lays out these rigid guidelines. And it specifies that those who partake of these various animals, the pigs, it talked about there was a distinction in how they were to kill certain animals and how they were to eat certain animals and which animals were a restriction to those who practiced Judaism. And so Peter, now remember now, this is in the Old Testament, and these were those who were practicing Judaism. Now these same individuals pass this now down the line, and this practice, this custom that they had drawn, accustomed to doing, it was still practiced up until Peter, up into Acts chapter 10, I'm going to show us in the text. Now here it is, he's a devout Jew. He says that I cannot deal with individuals who do certain type of things. Why? The Bible calls them what? unclean. It specifically deems them as unclean. Well, here it was, this man by the name of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was not a Jew. Well, anybody who was not born a Jew was considered to be what? A Gentile. That's what Gentiles were. Now, we had some who were proselytes, who was simply means that there were people who were born who were not Jews, but doing a ritualistic ceremony that they began to, and we'll talk about what uncircumcision means, which means that these individuals took on some practices that Jews did in order to practice this Judaism, which means that there were men, individuals who were born at birth, and simply mean uncircumcision is those who were not circumcised as males at birth.
That's right.
Which means the foreskin of their privates were not cut off.
That's right.
That's all it meant. And Jews consider that to be unclean. And those who live like that, they were considered to be unclean. So don't look at me strange. It's in the Bible. Brothers, man, you just call me unclean. Well, listen, I'm just telling you, this is what the text was teaching back then. So Jews considered you unclean. They considered you unclean because you was not circumcised. They considered you unclean if you ate certain type of meats that the Bible said that the scriptures that Moses was given by law that they were restricted from eating. Now, imagine this. You've grown up this way all your life.
Uh-huh.
This practice from the day you were born were given to you. It was instructions that was given to you. It wasn't something that was made up. Not only were instructions, but this came from God. Because remember, God had caused Israel to be who? His chosen people. He specifically had a group of individuals that were his chosen nation. This was not to remain in place. But Peter, even during the time that Christ was here, was teaching, Peter and them still adhere to Judaism. They still adhere to those laws. Even on the day of Pentecost, somebody said, well, when Peter preached this message that went out, something should have changed inside of him. No, it did not change just that quickly. And I'm going to help us see this. There are things about you and I that we have grown up in the Lord's church. We used to talk about anybody who was not a member of the Lord's church was strictly, everybody's going to hell. Nobody else could hear the gospel anywhere else.
Right.
Y'all looking strange. I'm going to show you. Cornelius was an exception to the, and not only was Cornelius, but his household, and there were other Gentiles who had heard the word of God, and it caused them to change some things about them. But it was not the end. There are individuals who did not grow up in the Lord's church. So the question is, how did they hear about the gospel message? If you and I didn't tell them, how else did they hear about the message of God? And the Bible said that once they understood, and I'm going to show you in the text, because the Bible said Cornelius' prayers and his alms came up before God. Well, how did God acknowledge Cornelius? He wasn't a Christian. God said his prayers and the things he was doing came before God. And God recognized those things. And there are those who are not members of the Lord's church who do some things. And they're praying and they're doing some good deeds. And God acknowledges them and he hears them and it comes up before God and God begins to do some things and he directs people our way.
Right.
I'm going to show y'all looking strange. A lot of people that come and they are among us and have not yet obeyed the gospel that way. And they work in our services. They pray. Y'all looking strange. I'm going to show you in the text. And we can fight a little bit later on, but I'm going to show you in the text what the Bible says. Now, here it is. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You all can write these down, and we can come. You can go back to them later. I want to show you. Peter, he was a devout Jew who up until the vision from God that even after Peter had received these instructions, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Read, what does the Bible say?
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Uh-huh.
And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth.
Now listen at this. These are instructions that are given to Peter. Not only are you to go to where? Jerusalem, where else? Come on, read back in the text. What does it say, verse 8 again?
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness in both Jerusalem,
and in all Judea, and
Samaria,
and to the uttermost parts of the world, which means that it is not limited to where the gospel message is intended and supposed to go. Someone said, well, he's gotten these instructions. Why was it an issue? Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19. What does the Bible say? Matthew 28 and verse number 19. What does the Bible say?
28:19. Right here. Go therefore and make.
How many brothers up there reading?
Go therefore.
Keep hearing
and
one
make.
Voice. Matthew 28 and verse 19. That's two of y'all. It should be equally divided. That way, it don't take you as long to get to the text. Matthew 28 and 19. What does the Bible say?
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations.
All the nations, just some of the nations.
All the nations.
Just a few of them.
All the nations.
All right.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age.
All right, now watch this. They had been given the charge from God that a new day was coming when these restrictions would be gone. They grew up practicing Judaism. Even though Peter preached the gospel message on the day of Pentecost, his message still was directed to Jews. So Peter takes this message. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's healing individuals. He's going from various towns to towns. And then the Bible says that God directs him to a place called Joppa. And he sends him there to a man by the name of Simon, who is a tanner. He sends him there and he makes him wait there. Now, Peter doesn't know why he's there. But on the other side of Joppa, about 30-some miles away, is a man by the name of Cornelius. Well, Cornelius was considered to be a Gentile. He was one of the uncircumcised. Well, what made him uncircumcised and made him unclean was what? He did not get circumcised at birth. And Cornelius ate the various meats that the Jews were restricted on eating. The Jews considered them to be dogs. They were unclean. There were a lot of different prohibitions against Jews and Gentiles. Now, in the marketplace, they could walk around and they could interact with each other. But they could not sit down and eat in fellowship with each other. Why? That was against Judaism and it was against their laws. They could not even go into each other's home. They couldn't sleep under the same roof, and they couldn't be caught fellowshipping with each other because it was against the law. They were considered unclean, and it defiled them as a Jew to have fellowship with these Gentiles on a personal basis. Y'all stay with me now. Some of us had, you think about how we grew up. It was almost a sin for us to have any type of relationship with anybody who was a member of the Lord Church. Don't act like I'm on the one who grew up like that. He used to tell us, you can't have fellowship with nobody.
That's right. Man, that's right. Man.
Be at your family reunions and you act strange. Yeah. All right. That ain't y'all people. Let's talk. So, 11:22, almost finished. Uncircumcised. But Cornelius was a religious, uncircumcised Gentile. Jews knew that there were those. What does it mean when God called them religious, uncircumcised? Well, those who were Gentiles who were a part of Rome, they also was known to practice and worship the Roman gods that existed, which was idol worshiping. So they ate meat that were considered to be unclean. They were uncircumcised as males, and they were considered to be idol worshipers. And the Jews considered them to be dogs. It was an insult, the lowest form that you can be called. But the Bible says that this was a religious Gentiles. Well, there were some Jews who knew that there was some religious Gentiles. Well, why did they call them religious Gentiles? They called them God-fearers, what they called them, which means that there were some Gentiles who actually acknowledged Yahweh, who actually acknowledged Jehovah God. And they worshiped. They actually were not those who were worshiping idol gods, but they acknowledged that there was one God. And they worshiped this God. Well, because they did not practice all of the things that Judaism wanted them to practice, which was get circumcised, not eat certain meats, not do certain things. They did not acknowledge them as true worshipers of God. They would say, those are some God-fearing Gentiles. Well, here it is. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, while in Acts chapter 9, Peter is being prepared. I'm going to show us, and then we're going to sit down right now. Now, here it is. It comes to this text. He says, here it is. He's a wealthy captain of this regiment called the Italian Unit. Well, there were about 600 men that he was over, that he oversaw. Well, he was a powerful man. He was a wealthy man. He had status in the community, and he was a part of the Roman Empire. Well, quite naturally, you would assume, because he had all this status, that he would simply fall in line and worship the Roman gods that existed during this time. But the Bible does not say that. It says Cornelius was one of the first Gentiles. Now, there were many more that we'll read about, but he was the first recorded convert to Christianity. The apostles have been teaching and preaching to Jews. There's a man that's on the other side of Joppa that is raising his household to serve Yahweh, to serve God. God says that his prayers and his alms have come up before me, which means that Cornelius, he was doing some things that God liked about him, to the point that God acknowledges Cornelius. There are some people that are in other places that are praying right and doing some things right, but it does not stop there. Does not mean that God just cuts him off. But we have condemned people for years and said, who are you to be praying to God? You ever been at a function and somebody not a member of the Lord's church start praying? You start fidgeting in your seat. They say, bow your heads. You act like they told you to get naked or something. They said, bow your head and start praying. And you feel uncomfortable. Why? Because we have been teaching some things that were not in the scriptures. It's nothing wrong with praying. And some of their prayers get up to God before our prayers make it up. What are you saying, preacher? Showing you from the text. Cornelius, the Bible says that his prayers and his alms came up before God.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Which means he was praying the right way, Brother Bellinger. Yes. He was doing something that was right, and God acknowledged those things.
Yes.
It's all right. You don't have to look at me strange.
All right.
Let's go here to the text. And we'll sit down. I'm going to read a little bit. Y'all two brothers a break up there. Well, you one brother that was reading. I'm going to give you a break. In Acts chapter 10, let me show you. He gets Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We already read that. Matthew 28 and 19. We read where the charge was already given. And the Bible says that Cornelius was a very religious man. He worshiped God. And so did who? Everyone else who lived in his house. He was giving a lot of money to the poor, and he was always praying to God, which means that those practices that the Jews did three times a day, they would pray. Cornelius was doing these things. He was doing these things, and God acknowledged this, but it was not enough. Well, if it was enough, if God had decided that his prayers and his alms were enough, he would have said, this was acceptable, and this is what all was needed for Cornelius. He says his prayers came up. His alms came up before God. And God said he acknowledged those things. And he sends an angel to Cornelius. And he says, Cornelius, there is something I need you to do. And Cornelius reaches out. He sees this angel of God. And he said, what is it that you need me to do? There is something else that is needed for you in order to get salvation. He says, one afternoon at about 3:00, I'm going to move really quickly. Cornelius had a vision. He saw an angel from God coming to him and calling him by name. Cornelius was surprised, and he stared at the angel. And then he began to ask questions, and God tells him, I want you to send some men to Joppa. There's a man by the name of Peter. There's a man by the name of Simon. And there's another Simon Peter who's there, and I need you to send for him. Well, why do you need me to send for him, Lord? Because there is something else I need you to do. Your prayers are okay. Your alms are okay. But there is something else I'm going to need for you to do in order to complete this circle. Oh, Lord of mercy. That should be a shout moment for y'all. But listen, Acts chapter 10. Let's move very quickly. I know y'all getting a little sleepy. Let's go to 10, verse 11 through 14. And I'm going to show you what happens with Peter. So he's getting Cornelius ready. Acts chapter 10, verse 11 through 14. I mean, one of your brothers, I'm going to need you to read this time.
And saw heaven open.
Yeah, there you go. Different voice.
And a certain vessel descending upon unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, eat, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
All right, think about this. Appreciate it. This is what happened. Even now, Peter is still doing what? Defying God. He's still questioning. He's not as if he's rejecting God's blessings, but he's saying, Lord, is this a test? You already know we practice Judaism. We don't do these things. We don't eat certain meats. We don't touch certain fowls of the air. But God is saying, I'm trying to show you in a vision that the walls that you keep putting up, those walls have been torn down. Those restrictions that you are living by, as a Jew, you're living by Judaism laws. Those laws are not a requirement anymore, Peter. Peter, all the way up until this. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, they were given a commission to do what? To go into the whole world and to preach. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. That same commission had already been given to them, and yet they still had issues. What are you saying? There were some of us who grew up a certain way, and we have issues. And have had issues when we hear about people who are not members of the church who may be praying at our congregation or serving in our services. We have issues when we find out, oh, they were not a member of the church. Lord have mercy. And they did something that was actually spiritual. You ever been at a funeral and somebody who was a good friend or somebody who was not a member of the church get up and say something? And you know it make you move a little bit, but you don't want to say that you're too pious. Lord of mercy. Don't ever let anybody get up from another church who can sing a little bit. And you want to move a little bit in the seat, but you looking all what?
Yes, sir.
to question this. What are you saying, God? Peter, I'm telling you, you have restricted yourself. But I have something in place for you. What is you have in place for me? I got some men that are coming. And if you read on, the text said, these men, they were waiting outside. Why? Because they were Gentiles. And they understood that they were not permitted to enter into a Jew house. But what God began to do with Peter in this vision is the same vision he had given to Cornelius. And he says, I'm going to connect this bridge because this is important. Why? I want to show you that not only are Jews accepted into my church, Gentiles are accepted into my church. And the only way I'm going to get him there, if you are allowed to what? To deal with him. Oh, y'all missing this now. We're not talking about placing your membership somewhere else. And what we're talking about, being able to accept individuals who did not grow up the way that we grew up.
Right. Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Oh, Lord. Come on now.
So I grew up in a conservative congregation. I knew how they were. Couldn't work. You had to wear a tie and suit. Couldn't do what? Perform in service. You ain't had your tie and suit on. If you couldn't afford no tie and suit, you had to get one of them brothers' ugly ties and put it on. If you ain't have no suit, you know your suit, what Sunday you was going to actually, what, be a part of service, so you can wear your suit then. But the other times you had to sit down, you couldn't participate. Oh, Lord. Okay. Brother Thompson, you're going to be quick. 11:34. Took my glasses out. I can't see that far back. So it's blurry. So, watch this. You get to this text here. Cornelius is not a member of the church. That's what y'all want to know. He's not a member of the church yet. But God said his prayers and his what? His good deeds has come up before the Lord. He says, Cornelius, listen, I need you to do something. Listen, I'm hearing you. I'm acknowledging you. There's something that I need to get you to do. Why? Because you're important, Cornelius, and I want you to be saved. And he says, listen, I'm going to send you to a place. He says, I'm going to want you to go get this man. Get this man, bring him back. He is a Jew. Bring this man back. Now, Peter had a hard time. Now, you got to remember, Peter didn't just up and go. Peter had a hard time. He questioned this vision. What are you talking about? These men are knocking at my door, and these are Gentile men. These are not Jew. If people saw these individuals in my house, there's going to be some problems. Not only if they see them knocking at my door, now I got to invite these people in. I got to invite these people in, and then I got to eat with these people. I got to eat meat that they eat that is restricted to me. Things that I consider to be foul and unclean, they gonna wanna, what, eat it. Now I gotta leave with these people. And I go to this place, Cornelius' home. And he is not only, is he's a Gentile, an uncircumcised one, but he is one of prominence.
All right.
I get here to this home, and not only is Cornelius there, but the Bible said when he get there, there's a whole household full of folks in there that actually were praying and giving good alms to God. So he get there, and Peter walks into a household full of people who want to know what message is that Peter has for them. Well, God tell Cornelius, prepare them, let them know Peter is on his way. Well, what was Peter coming to tell them? Your alms are good. Your prayers are okay, but there is something else that is required of you by God. Well, what is that thing, this message that you were missing in order to complete the full circle, is that Peter is getting ready to tell you what else is required of you in order to make salvation yours. So we take this unclean, and somebody say, listen, being circumcised or changing their eating habits were not a part of the requirements. Oh, let me help you see some. People come from various faiths and they do different things. Some people may get up and shout a little bit and and do a lot of different things. We used to tell people, you can't do that, sister, in here. You swinging your arms too much. We don't do that in here. You standing up and you, we don't do that in here. We look at them like they committed a sin, and we don't want to sit next to them. And not only how we, this is how we secretly do. We go to the brothers. Did you see that sister here? I can't have her standing up every Sunday shouting like that. I can't have her sweeping her hands and knocking my wig off of her wig too. I can't have her doing that. Not next to me. Y'all looking strange. We were like that. We wouldn't tell them, but we would secretly go to the brother of the leadership and tell, and here, here come this old pious brother. Sister, let me talk to you. You can't be expressive here in church. You can't shout that way in here. You can't stand up and express your way in here. What the scripture said. I'm just telling you, this is not what Church of Christ people do. Yeah. We were just like that. But they never called them. God never restricted them to change their eating habits. Never told them to go and get circumcised. He said, send for Peter. Along the way, I'm going to teach him what I'm saying. He brought some other Jews with him. I'm going to read this and I'm going to sit down. In Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read it, y'all. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit took control of everyone who was listening. So I had a lot of time to teach this because the Spirit of God, he descended upon them even before they were baptized. Why? Because really was trying to convince those Jews that was there that God was acceptance of these Gentiles who was present, that God had no issues with them being able to accept the truth. And that's why he gave the Spirit to them, because generally the Spirit will only ascend on those who were Jew during that time who had did what? Obeyed the gospel. Well, God did it. Well, he's God. He can do it any way he want to. He extended the Spirit of God. It dispersed on them. And when the Jews recognized this, they said, well, God accepts them. That's why I said some Jewish followers of the Lord had come with Peter, and they were surprised that the Holy Spirit had been given to Gentiles. This is what they thought was personally theirs. He says, now they were hearing Gentiles speaking in unknown languages and praising God. Which simply means they were speaking in their dialect, in their tongue. And he says that, he says, now they were hearing Gentiles speaking an unknown language and praising God. Peter said, these Gentiles have been given the Holy Spirit just as we have. He says, I am certain that no one would dare stop us from doing what? Baptizing them. Peter ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked him to stay on for a few days. Listen. They were not yet Christians until they were baptized. Sometimes there are those who desire to worship God and praise God, but out of ignorance don't know the full circle of things until they come into contact with those of us who do. But it's not our job to be dogmatic about things or to put requirements on individuals. You find out somebody's not a member of God's church and they're doing something. How dare you get up and restrict them and say, well, you can't fix sandwiches in this ministry because you're not a member of the Lord's church. What kind of stuff is that? You can't drive the church van and help out in ministry because you're not a member of the Lord's church. What kind of stuff is that? Somebody who can sing and sing really well, and you say, well, we can't have you up here singing. The Bible says that their prayers and their good deeds came up before God. And it is God who determines who shall be saved. You and I have nothing to do with that process. And that's what has crippled us. People come and they say, I want to join and be a part of a church family. And we read and we see the church name doesn't say what we needed to say. And it's as if we have to, they didn't say that. I said, man, this, I'm looking for a place to go. And God's done sent them this way to us. And some of us get to grumbling in the seats out here. Man, they said St. John, St. Mark, Tabernacle on the Holy Hill down the street around the corner. And you all said, come on in. Some of our members out here grumbling. We got opportunity to teach them by bringing them into our fellowship. So they're here and now what they lack, we can now give it to them. You hear the grumbling and the mumbling going on. How dare you tell them that they can come and be a part of our fellowship? Who are you? It's God who determines who's going to be saved. And God sent Peter to Cornelius' household. Go down to this place. There's a man in a household full of people there that I want you to teach. And I want you to do exactly what I tell you to do. Why, God? Because they're worthy to be saved just like you were. And salvation was not restricted simply to the Jews. Anybody who heard the word had a right to be to obey the word and to be saved. People who hear the gospel message, and they may not have a clarity about everything, but if God directs them our way, it's not our job to condemn them. Our job is to get a clear understanding and to teach them. And there are a lot of people who are among us for years, and you never know. When I was in school in Denton, there was a brother there, and for years he served the congregation. He did so much, nobody never knew he had obeyed the gospel. One Sunday he gets up and says, man, I want to give my life to Christ. You could have seen all the jaws that dropped down. What? He been teaching classes and singing and participating and doing all this stuff, and he ain't obeyed the gospel. It was like they all had to get up and repent of some sin or something. But he had been doing everything. And he understood it, and he got up. Still faithful. And that's almost 20 years ago. We have some restrictions, some walls that God never put up. That we have created walls. Over years, we have put walls and boundaries in place that God never put in place in order to save people and to bring them into the fold. How are we going to ever reach out to individuals if we have all these restrictions and have all these laws up? What happened? You sit next to somebody and they start shouting. You don't know what they've been through. Could have survived some things. Seen people die after die. And all of a sudden they get here and they hear something that makes them move them. If you're worried about your wig, move aside then. Tighten it up. Whatever you need to do, get out the way. Remember one of our sisters used to be here. God bless her. Used to shout. And if you was in her way, that was your eye, because you knew that at a certain time she was going to shout and shout loud and swing all her arms. And if you was right there, it was your fault, because the next Sunday she was going to do the exact same thing and didn't care what you said about her. And we loved her. She expressed love to everybody she saw. She would squeeze you tight and kiss your heart. Could even breathe when she hugged on you. But you knew she was sincere. Amen.
And she tell you, I'm going to shout every time I get a chance to shout. Why you going to shout, sister? Because you don't know what God has done for me. And she will shout right there. And Cornelius had that same mindset. Why, Cornelius? You don't know what God has done for me. I'm going to still pray to God. I'm going to give alms to people. I'm going to help people. And when Peter, when you get here and you tell me what God wants you to tell me, I'm going to be obedient to that as well. It's my message for us this morning. It is God who determines salvation, and it's not in us to determine who's going to be saved. Listen, everybody has a right to go to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
If as raggedy as we are, petitioning God to get there ourselves, how dare we stand in the way of other people who want to make heaven their home? So I'm not in that mode anymore. And I grew up like some of us, and it was hard transitioning. You can't say that. I was like you. Heard somebody screaming and shouting in church, and I'm looking like, why are you shouting and screaming in church? Somebody get up and bounce around. I'm like, why are you bouncing like that? The Spirit of God don't make you move like that. Then lose somebody that you love. Lose some things that you think are valuable in your life, and God bring you back up from where you are in a low place. And then all of a sudden, you start sticking your leg out, and you get to shout a little bit. And then I can't even wait till somebody say something to me. Because I know God for myself. And that's why I don't worry about what people say.